This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Today we'll hear from Capitol Bureau Chief Mark Ballard for The Advocate. There is peace in our time at the state capitol as lawmakers finally come to grips with the budget shortfall. The fiscal cliff was a week away when lawmakers decided to come to an agreement, and now we have most of the money that Governor John Bel Edwards says is needed to fund government at an adequate level. We'll talk about it with Mark Ballard. Also, former state lawmaker Albert Guillory, head of minority outreach for the Louisiana GOP, is slated to join us to talk about news in Baton Rouge and in the Beltway and how President Trump is doing. And he is scheduled to be joined by Democratic activist, the Reverend Reginald Pitcher, who has different ideas about where we're going as a country and as a state. Now the news on 89.3 WRKF. This is Jim Inkster. Pleased to have you with us for Talk Louisiana. Hope you had a great weekend and glad you're starting your week with WRKF. Your numbers for our show are 877-217-5757 wherever you are. And if you're in Baton Rouge, you can dial 297-5633. And you can always send us an email to talk@talklouisiana.org. Lawmakers have struck a compromise, wrapping up a special session early with a deal on a sales tax. And we'll be talking with Mark Ballard, the Capitol Bureau Chief, about what turned out to be an eventful weekend at the Capitol and a productive one. But we begin with Reverend Reginald Pitcher here in Baton Rouge, who's in studio, and the Honorable Albert Lee Guillory, the former state senator from the great hamlet of Opelousas, where he is joining us, an accomplished lawyer. And Albert will spend the first half hour with us, and then we'll spend some time with Reverend Pitcher and Mark Ballard. But Albert Guillory, of course, is a bullish conservative. He is director of minority outreach for the Louisiana GOP, and we want to talk with him and Reverend Pitcher about news both nationally and internationally and, of course, in the state. But last week, President Trump dominated the news cycle, as he has for several months, if not years, and it was regarding immigration. And Albert Guillory, do you think he messed up or did he do the right things?
I think that he's done the right things. I think that he has sent the message to people in Central America and South America, Central America, that our borders are not going to be porous. You just cannot come in and flood this nation with people who have illnesses, diseases, and lack of education, and they come and we have to take care of them. It's not fair to this country, and it's not fair to them.
Was it fair to separate mothers from their children at the border?
Well, the only children who are separated from their parents are those who have crossed illegally. Those are the only people. And people get separated from their families all of the time when they commit crimes, when they do illegal things.
Well, Albert Guillory, of course, is echoing the thoughts of many that we have an immigration problem and that the president is addressing it. And before we hear from Reverend Pitcher, are we going to get the wall, and is Mexico going to pay for it?
I think that we will definitely get the wall. I don't know who is going to pay for it, nor how it's going to be paid, but I know that we must have it. We cannot permit the drugs and the MS-13 people, ISIS people who are coming into our borders. We cannot permit that to continue. At home, we lock our doors when we leave home, and we lock our doors at night. We must do the same thing with our borders. It's common sense. Mm-hmm.
Reverend Pitcher, how do you see it?
Well, basically, Tim, I think it's just another means of President Trump trying to divide and conquer. I'm yet to see any statistics that indicate how many of those children and families that crossed the border legally or illegally were identified as ISIS. I'm yet to see that statistic. And in terms of them breaking the law, there was no due process, when they were taken into captivity. I think the zero tolerance policy just indicates that whenever they're captured, whether they're illegal whether they're drug smokers or whatever Trump calls them, they're immediately taken into custody and the children are separated. And we still have 2,000-plus children in term camps. And the so-called executive order did nothing to address them. So I think he's just throwing up red herrings.
The president's approval rating in the conflation of polls by Real Clear Politics has him at 44%. 51% disapprove, so that's a spread of more than 7 points. But the president's approval rating was right around that level or even a bit lower when he defeated Hillary Clinton. So it all comes down to the opponent. And in Louisiana, as we recall, he won this state by 20 percentage points. He carried all 11 states in the Southeastern Conference handsomely, with the exception of Florida, which was close, but he won there as well. 150 electoral votes in the SEC, by the way, all went to Donald John Trump. And 90% of Republicans say they are supportive of him and his policies. Elbert Guillory, is he on the way to reelection?
I think that he's on the way to reelection. If you look at the polls across the country, state by state, I think that he will not only be reelected, but I think that he will increase the number of Republicans in the Senate and in the House.
There's no Republican, Reverend Pitcher, who seems to want to criticize him other than people like Bob Coker and Jeff Flake, who are leaving. They've already announced they're not running again. John McCain, who's not running again, fighting for his life. But those who like it in Congress, including all of the Louisiana delegation, you're not going to hear a harsh word about the president from them, and can you blame them?
No, frankly, Jim, I think he has them mesmerized and he has bullied them into submission. Anytime you have a president who takes joy in belittling and demeaning people that are even close to him, his supporters, his friends, no one wants to be demeaned, no one wants to be belittled. But from a politician's perspective, they want to get reelected. If going out against Trump gets them unelected, then they're not going to do it. They're afraid, they've been bullied, and he knows that. But I think what he's going to do is galvanize the Democratic Party. As a matter of fact, we're trying to put together a series of voter education, registration, and ultimately implementation for the coming election. So we're preparing for the onslaught that the Democratic Party is going to have, and I do not believe that Donald Trump will be reelected.
How is he playing in Louisiana?
Well, frankly, I think he's playing with his base. Look at what David Duke did when he ran. So I think the base here in Louisiana is slanted heavily toward the Republican Party. The Democrats have not really did a lot of work, particularly in the African-American community, Jim. I think that it should be a wholesale voter registration drive, voter registration, education, ultimately participation. I've not seen that. I've not seen that on any level, actually. And I think they're taking us for granted and not realizing that what Donald Trump has done in terms of polarizing the community, he's also turned off Democratic voters and potential voters simply because the Democratic Party have not done their job.
Well, right now in the Democratic Party in Louisiana, there are more African Americans than there are whites. And in the Republican Party, it's a totally different story. There are a number of white Republicans, over 700,000 of them, but only 22,000 black Republicans. Elbert Guillory, you're trying to change that. What does Donald Trump have and the Republican Party at large have that would be attractive to black voters in Louisiana?
Well, take a look at Donald Trump's record black employment. We have not had this low an unemployment rate in 40 or 50 years. He is creating jobs. He's bringing jobs back to America. His trade policies are creating jobs and raises here. That's one thing. He's attempting to protect us. And, you know, in this immigration business, there are winners and losers. The black community has traditionally been the great losers in immigration policies of the Democrat Party. as they have brought in Koreans and Vietnamese, and the in our communities, businesses. If you just take a look, just drive through businesses that have traditionally been black and employed black folk in our communities are no longer ours. They've been taken over by immigrants. We've been the big losers, and Trump understands that and is trying to protect it. I do not support every policy of Donald Trump. I have not been bullied. I've not been mesmerized. I'm 74 years old. I can go home and sit on my rocking chair anytime I want to. I'm fighting this fight because it is right and just.
All right, Elbert Gilrey, I see a bit of a frown arching across your brow. What about Senator Gilrey's remarks? Do you take exception to?
Oh, yes, I do. I mean, I'm just sitting here amazed at how Donald Trump has the ability to claim credit for what previous administrations have done. If you look at the statistics, labor statistics, you see that the black unemployment rate has been lowering since 2004. So it's not a new phenomenon. I admit Donald Trump has created a situation or environment where, of course, there are more jobs available. But I would not allow him to accept full credit for that, because the job situation for African Americans began to get better under the Obama administration.
We're hearing from Democratic activist, the Reverend Reginald Pitcher, who's been in Baton Rouge for a long time by way of Los Angeles, and Senator Elbert Lee Gilrey, former state lawmaker, head of minority outreach for the Louisiana GOP. We'll go to the phone lines. Your number is 877-217-5757. Back after this timeout. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Senator Elbert Lee Gilrey with us, former state lawmaker, head of minority outreach for the Louisiana GOP, and Reverend Reginald Pitcher, who is a Democratic activist. And Senator Gilrey, I think, has to step out to the courthouse in just a bit. But a listener notes that you were talking about immigration and the president's policy on trade helping the country. But Harley Davidson announced today it's moving its headquarters overseas because of tariffs. This wasn't what the president wanted, to have a great American company move elsewhere. Elbert Gilrey, what are your thoughts about the move by Harley Davidson?
I'm saddened, of course. Not only am I a Harley rider, but I'm saddened to see the small number of jobs being lost by Harley's move. Overall, and there's a company in Wisconsin that's having the same problem. They're thinking of moving to Canada. Those two aside, many, many, many more jobs are being created by the trade policies and tax policies of the present administration. So overall, Americans are the big, big winners. But there are a few losers. There are a few, without a doubt. But overall, the jobs and companies are moving back into the country.
Patrick on Bluebonnet. Patrick, you're on the air with Senator Gilrey and Reverend Pitcher.
Yeah, I was listening. I guess it was Senator Gilrey. I was listening to his comments about how Trump is – I disagree with his comments about the Asian immigrants and that Donald Trump wants to stop Asian immigration. That's not true. What Donald Trump wants to stop is that he wants to stop immigrants that are coming here that are going to be gang members, that are going to just rely on the system to take care of them. He's not against immigration that produces and is going to be productive members of this country. My own mother was an immigrant. She was a Republican. Republican Party is not against immigration. Let's correct that, okay?
Okay. Thank you, Patrick. Your thoughts, Senator Gilrey?
I didn't say that the Trump administration was doing it. I'm saying that historically, as we look back over the last 30 or 40 years, I was head of the Maryland Commission on Human Relations when one of the tuna packing companies fired 203 black employees and hired 203 Vietnamese boat people to take those jobs. And we forced them into court and forced them to give back those jobs. It was because the Catholic Bishop of Baltimore had worked out this deal.
Ann on Bluebonnet. Ann, good morning. You're on with Senator Gilrey and Reverend Pitcher.
Yes, good morning. I just wanted to comment that It is not illegal to cross the border at points of entry to seek asylum. And what's been happening is that they have made people wait 8 or 9 days out in the heat with no shelter to try to get through those points of entry. So they have gone to other points where they have crossed the border and then have been separated from their children. Crossing the border at a point other than that is a misdemeanor. It's not something that you should have to lose your children for. There are no misdemeanors in the United States law where people lose their children.
All right. Thank you, Ann. Senator?
Let's apply common sense to this situation. If someone breaks into your house through the window, sits down at the dinner table, demands food, and demands that you turn up the air conditioning, you would be really incensed. They should not break in through the side window. They should knock at the front door, come in legally, and all of their rights are protected. We welcome them if they can get past the questions and the interrogations. They're welcome to join this country. But when you start off by breaking through the window, that is not the right way to become an American.
Reverend Pitcher.
No, I think you really have that twisted, my brother. When you start off by maligning people and criminalizing people and separating families and saying that they're criminals and murderers and robbers that are coming over the border without even giving them the benefit of a doubt, then you're discouraging. Yeah, I don't see that as being a welcoming gesture on the part of the president. And then when you get on TV and lie and say that it's the Democrats' fault, when you know full well, first of all, there's no law. Then, secondly, it's a policy that you have implemented, and then you have turned it up to make it even more difficult for families to come in. Even if they come in legally, you still have maligned them, and you still have put them in a position, in a predicament where if they're not here trying to seek asylum, then they're here trying to at least better their condition from the countries they've come. And you've demeaned them, maligned them, and mm-hmm. criminalized them.
Now, many, Reverend Pitcher, on the other side, and maybe Senator Guillory is one of them, would call you a bleeding heart liberal. They view the Democrats as being a party of wimps and people who are perhaps too compassionate for their own good. And here is Senator Guillory not so long ago expressing what he thinks is the appropriate way to bring some machismo to the political process.
These are coconuts. In Louisiana, when someone has courage and fortitude and the ability to stand up when others stand back, we say that she or he has coconuts. There are not enough coconuts in Washington, D.C. today. Today, there are not enough people who love God, love America, and love the American people in Washington, D.C. It takes coconuts to stand against the wild spending that mortgages our grandbabies' futures. Coconuts to stand against the pinheaded foreign policies that threaten our homeland. It takes coconuts to yell out, we must take care of our veterans, our elderly, our poor, before we invite millions of guests onto our health, education, and welfare systems.
All right. Is that what this is about, Reverend Pitcher?
I think it's going to take coconuts. The coconuts are going to rise up against the nuts on Pennsylvania Avenue. And I think the coconuts are going to rise up against this illegal immigration policy. And he's going to see the increased numbers of demonstrations throughout this country, because I think not only this country, but the world is outraged at the way that the Trump administration is treating these children. So if you want to see coconuts, he's about to see coconuts, but the coconuts are going to come out against the nuts that's on Pennsylvania Avenue.
Senator Guillory?
A lot of people forget that in 2014, when the then president invited Central American unaccompanied minors to come into the United States. 1,500 of them were dropped onto Louisiana. It cost this state $10 million in the first 3 months to treat their diseases and illnesses and for their special education needs. And where did that money come from? It came from the backs of poor people, from the state's budgets in education and health that were set aside for poor people. Winners and losers. We lose too often.
Mm-hmm. Now, the Census Bureau reports that by 2045, and maybe earlier, this will be a largely non-white country, that brown people and Asian people and black people will exceed whites in America. Elbert Guillory, is that what this is about? Because brown people and black people and Asian people usually vote for Democrats. Is that why we're so reluctant to bring these people into the United States?
I think that that's why some people are so eager to bring into the United States people who are poor and uneducated and cannot contribute to this country, but they vote Democrat. That is why the Democrats are down bleeding and crying and trying to get our borders open instead of protecting us from MS-13, from drugs, and from violence.
So, Reverend Pitcher.
I thought that when an immigrant applies for entry into the country, he's vetted, his educational level is looked at, as well as his skill level. So I don't think they're just letting anybody in. I think they vet them to the extent to where, you know, if they're eligible educationally or skill-wise.
877-217-5757, your number for Talk Louisiana. We'll return after this brief pause with more stimulating conversation right here on 89.3 WRKF. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Becca Dill is producing today, and Senator Guillory, who is an accomplished lawyer in Opelousas, had to go into the courthouse. The judge was calling him saying, "Elbert, Elbert, Elbert." So he is in the courthouse, and he may be listening, but he'll be unlikely to respond to your questions, at least for now. But we do have another segment with the Reverend Reginald Pitcher, always a provocative guest, a longtime activist from the left here in Baton Rouge. Your number is 877-217-5757. David in Atlanta. Hello, David. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning, gentlemen. You know, for this heartless and merciless president who thinks he can borrow and tax cut his way to prosperity, the Dow Jones record, based on presidents who have taken office in the last 50 years, Trump has the second worst record. Interest rates are rising. The deficit is ballooning. Inflation is at the highest rate in 6 years. So the Republican Party has done it again, taking a good economy and turning it into a disaster.
Well, the Dow is down 272 points to start the day. It was roaring early on in the Trump first year, but now has lost more than 2,000 points over the last several months, and these tariffs are not helping at all, and this announcement today by Harley Davidson is not helping. But David, you, I know, lived many years in Louisiana. It's your home state. You're in Georgia now, and both of these states are solid Trump country, and as I stated, I don't think anything's happened in the last year and a half with President Trump to keep him from carrying Louisiana and Georgia and the nine other SEC states come 2020.
Well, you know, I'm hoping the Democratic nominee for governor of Georgia this year, the election, the general elections in November, Tracy is going to hopefully, I think, pull an upset in this race. And, you know, I'd like to point out to what I've heard on talk radio many times about Democratic big cities. Well, Atlanta has a predominant African-American liberal democratic city government, and right now there are more people working in the city of Atlanta than any time in its history. Now, I would not call that a failed administration.
All right, and of course President Trump would take full credit for that. Reverend Pitcher, you're smiling. Is Trump benefiting from residual Obama successes, or is he stimulating the economy single-handedly?
Well, I think he has had an impact on it. You know, without a doubt, I give him credit for that. But the economic stimulus package that Obama instituted in 2008 has continued in terms of adding jobs and in terms of stabilizing the economy. So he's on the edge, on the end, should I say, of what Obama started. Of course, he's benefiting from those numbers now.
Jennifer in Mid-City. Hi, Jennifer. You're on with Reverend Pitcher.
Hi. I just wanted to comment about something that I heard a few minutes ago about the immigrants coming into the country being poor and uneducated and not helpful. I feel like we hear stories about farms not having enough workers to pick the crops and things like that. I feel like we've got definitely plenty of jobs for people coming in. So I feel like not really a strong argument.
On my father's side, my family came from Germany a couple of hundred years ago. None of those people had college degrees, and they weren't rich or they wouldn't have come from Germany. So I think being in need or in want of a better life is a reason people come to the United States then and now.
Right. And we have people who are not well-educated who live in this country who also find jobs working at McDonald's and working at fast food restaurants. That's not an excuse to say that people aren't valuable to our society.
Reverend Pitcher.
And I think our president does a disservice to the honest, hardworking people who are just coming to the country to create a better life for their children and for themselves. The majority of them, the overwhelming majority of them, are not criminals. They're not thugs. They're not coming here to commit crime. If you look at the MS-13, it's what 1%, 2% of the total people that are coming over. And I hear the argument all the time about we're securing our borders so ISIS won't come over. I'm still waiting to see how many of these immigrants that are coming from Mexico, Guatemala, Honduras, how many of them are ISIS agents? I've yet to see any statistic that would bear that out. So I think it's just throwing things out there and divisive as usual.
Robert, thank you, Jennifer. Robert in Scotlandville. Robert, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning, sir. How are you doing this morning?
Fine. Good to hear your voice.
Thank you very much, sir. My major issue that I have is that a lack of education on a practical level is pushed here in Louisiana and in all honesty, in the community in general, which is why I partially have an issue with the church, especially in our black communities. Why is it that practical skills such as paying for taxes, learning how to budget your money, learning how to live in spaces together and consolidate money and build wealth isn't pushed more as opposed to waiting on a politician who's merely running on a platform, regardless as to whether they're Republican or Democrat, isn't pushed more? Why is it that people try to, President Obama or Bush or Trump or whomever is elected next is going to fix this? Why is it their fault that we don't fix our own communities?
I think you're making an assumption that has been given legs by white supremacists and white racists for years. You're assuming that that's not going on in the black community. When was the last time you visited a black community or even talked to someone in the black community?
I live in the hood. Like, I've lived there pretty much my entire life. I'm 27. I've lived there for 24 years.
Okay, let me
what I've seen is a breakdown of that communal spirit where I can get a cup of sugar from you, you can get a cup of milk from me. You know, if you need help reading, I help you read, and you help me learn how to do math.
Okay, and I agree with that 100%, but my question again to you, have you started any type of networking, or have you created any support groups, or have you set up anything where you can train people to do the things that you're saying that we're not doing? If you live in the hood, then you're
I'll tutor on... Once a week, I try to tutor kids for free in terms of math.
Great. That's a start.
I haven't been able to build up a network, but I. Mm-hmm. Why isn't it that institutions like the church and the black community, which usually just sell us hope, why is it that they don't have a network like that set up where somebody like me who knows math up to calculus, where I can go in and they can say, hey, brother, would you come in and teach the kids this on a Saturday, and we'll have someone who knows how to teach English on a Monday, and we'll have someone who knows how to teach home ec on a Tuesday and that kind of thing. Because if we're waiting for any president to fix it, they're not going to.
Well, we have two powerful programs that I can think of right offhand. One is run by Raymond Jetson. One is run by Jasiri, a young brother named Jasiri. If you could give me a call after this program, I can connect you with them. They would be glad to offer you a volunteer position with them.
All right. Thank you, Robert.
Oh, okay.
May I ask, are you white or black?
Oh, I'm black.
Okay. And he lives in Scotlandville and has some concerns. Now, unfortunately, there aren't many white folks who would dare. They wouldn't even visit Scotlandville, much less live there. Is that part of the problem? And when you look around LSU, you go down any of the Dales, you're not going to see any black people living there. It just we live in a segregated city for the most part.
And the sad thing about it, Jim, about maybe 2 years ago, I instituted a Unity in the Community move. I invited quite a few, you know, white people that I knew who talked about, they were liberals, left-leaning liberals, who want to come and do some things. However, when I called for the meeting happened to be in South Baton Rouge, no one showed up. When I called to see if they were still interested, they said, yes, but we're not interested in coming into the community. Well, if you're not interested in coming into the community, then how do you expect to reach the community? I mean, you're talking out of both sides of your mouth. So I think the only way that we can do anything productive is that white and black, rich and poor, are going to have to work together. Other than that, we're just spinning our wheels.
Okay. Nicholas on Nicholson says, I would not be surprised if a descendant of one of these immigrants becomes a good president of the United States. Hopefully we'll live long enough to see that. Tomorrow, by the way, is the third-year anniversary of the Supreme Court 5-4 decision on same-sex marriage. We'll have Moses Evans with us, the Justice of the Peace in Baker, talking about many of the same-sex marriages that he has presided over. But you had an epiphany on that issue. What prompted that, Reverend Pitcher?
Well, Jim, I was in the city council meeting at that time, and I was listening to negative comments that one side was making against the other side. And as I closed my eyes, you know, it took me back to the 50s and the 60s when white people were making those same comments against black people. And it occurred to me at that time that the same discrimination and gender bias that these folk are experiencing now, our people experienced then, and primarily by the same people. So I felt like, you know, I was on the wrong side.
And you had an epiphany, and do you feel comfortable 3 years later?
Yeah, I feel very comfortable now. You know, I've taken some backlash from some of my religious friends in terms of me embracing LGBT community, but I think under God's eyes, we're all one people.
Well, we always enjoy visiting with you, Reverend Reginald Pitcher, who came this way from Los Angeles, and you're living proof of how a man can change. You had some rowdy days in your past.
Oh, yeah, from the hood, Holly Watts, South Central Los Angeles, gang banging, you know, you name it, drug dealing, but thanks be to God.
You were burning cars and doing all kinds
doing
of stuff.
Doing the 65 rides.
You were there in Watts, 1965. Look what happened. Pillar of the community, Reverend Reginald Pitcher.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank
Appreciate
you. God bless. Take care. We'll be back. We'll talk about what's going on at the Louisiana legislature. There is peace in our time after this pause on WRKF. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Becca Dill is producing, and your number is 877-217-5757. Mark Ballard is with us. He usually joins us on Thursdays or Fridays, but we have him here today because, as it turned out, the weekend was productive at the Capitol. After seven special sessions, three in recent memory, we finally have an agreement that the House and the Senate have come to concurrence on, and it will resolve, apparently, most of the issues surrounding the so-called fiscal cliff. Mark Ballard, your thoughts?
Well, I think it was a pretty good compromise. I mean, it's not what everybody wanted, and it but it did get to, it did get past this impasse that they've been having for the last 2 years. So sales taxes are kind of regressive. They were unable to do anything with the with income taxes, but again, it kind of took care of what needed to be taken care of before the end of the week.
Well, was it a surprise that they finally came to some sort of a consensus, or was it inevitable that this would happen?
Well, I thought of it as a surprise. I mean, come Thursday night, they were, you know, they were just so hardened in their lines. I think that they finally kind of were able to come up with some sort of agreement on Friday morning between the governor and Taylor Barra. The interesting part of it was that they were able to get this tax passed, and the Senate agreed to take it as it came across. President John Alario said he wasn't going to change a semicolon in it because he didn't want to send it back over to the House and give them another shot at it. There was fear that it might fall apart at that point.
Well, last Friday there was talk that Alario had come up with this instrument that would have allowed a resolution to continue the whole penny of the sales tax for a year. And this, of course, would have required only a majority vote. It was a remarkable bit of chicanery, if you will, from the seasoned lawmaker. John Alario has been there since 1972. Did this in any way perhaps influence the outcome?
I think it was out there in left field. I'm not sure that it would have passed, but just having it there, if you will, I mean, kind of made people sort of say, well, we need to do something quickly, or this is what's going to happen. But I'm not altogether sure that it would have passed.
Even a majority.
But still, having that out there, you know, kind of made the negotiations a lot more, or it crystallized negotiations, I think.
Well, according to the compromise, the state sales tax will go from 5% to 4.45% on
right.
July 1st. That's a cut of, I think, what is it, 1/20th? It's not even 1/20th.
We had difficult ways of coming up with trying to figure out mathematically what it was. So good luck.
Yeah, well, anyway, the $500 million generated by keeping a portion of the sales tax will fund most of the things that were slated for cutting, in particular TOPS. But there's still a slight shortfall. What happens with the slight shortfall that is still there?
Well, it's about $100 million. And the governor last night said that he's going – and this is a political answer, but he said they're going to be strategic cuts throughout the government. So that's how they're going to handle it. But the main deals with TOPS and the prisons and the prosecutors and the elderly in nursing homes, that they will get funding enough that they're not going to have to close down.
And, Mark, I'm sure the governor was quite relieved.
Yes, actually everybody was. There was a lot more applause in the Senate and on the fourth floor when the governor gave his press conference than there was in the House, but there was a palpable relief throughout the building last night.
And now we head to election with October 12th of next year, not so far away, less than 16 months away from the next election for lawmakers and for the governor and other statewide officials. And Mark Ballard, it should be a lively year politically in the coming year.
Yeah, and I'm starting to think, but I don't know quite how it's going to work out, that one of the big motivating factors that caused this sort of intransigence, this dysfunction, it was the effort to keep the governor from getting a win, and this is certainly being spun as a big win for the governor, and I wonder how that's going to play into the election next year.
Well, it's going to be a factor, and Senator Kennedy, I'm sure, will be announcing soon whether he will be the opponent of Governor John Bel Edwards, the major opponent, but you reported in yesterday's Advocate that he's going to Russia. What's going on there?
I think that's one of those junkets that they take for the Senate. He says he's going over there to kind of get firsthand knowledge about the alleged Russian infiltration of our voting in the last election, but maybe he'll take in a few of the World Cup games.
maybe Vladimir Putin will spill his guts to John Kennedy.
Yeah, that'll count on that.
This is an amazing trip for the kid from Zachary by way of Centerville, Mississippi, John Neely Kennedy, who may very well be on a ballot again soon, something we've become quite accustomed to in the great state of Louisiana. John Kennedy has run and run and run and run, and most of the time he has won, and I think anybody who knows politics realizes that if Kennedy gets in the race, it is quite a horse race between him and the incumbent.
Yeah, and we'll see how that plays out over the next few months, because I think this stuff will start gelling over the next 6 months, and we'll see if he actually jumps in or not.
And a listener asked a story that I'm not sure Mark's been covering. He's been covering the Capitol, but I'm sure he knows about it. We got Rudy Giuliani in Louisiana for a fundraiser for an opponent of Clay Higgins. What's going on here?
Only in Louisiana do we have this kind of this soap opera type of thing going on. But apparently Rudy Giuliani has a relationship with one of the opponents of Clay Higgins, and so he's jumping in. He's going to help raise money for this for the opponent, and that prompted Donald Trump to come out and support Higgins. He was kind of angry that Giuliani was inserting himself into a race, and I mean, thinking of it from the Northeast, or jumping into a race in the swamps of Louisiana. So
yeah, and here's Giuliani, who's been thrice married, like the president, although the last one for Giuliani has just broken up. He's already got a girlfriend from Louisiana. Imagine that.
and is getting involved in our politics.
Yes. Lawmakers will pay out $42 million in outstanding lawsuits against the state. That's a Mark Ballard front page story today, and this is a sidebar to the budget deal. What's going on here?
Well, the legislature had not been paying the lawsuits, and it's been going on for about 4 or 5 years now. These are judgments that were ordered by the court that the state should have to pay, but under our state constitution, the legislature is the only one that can actually appropriate the money to pay these judgments, and they've been piling up for the last 5 years or so, mainly because we didn't have the money to pay for it, or at least that's what I'm told. And they found some excess money that they kind of rearranged so that they could go ahead and pay off these lawsuits and be done with it. All of them except for the one in Tangipahoa Parish that dealing with the flooding that caused by I-12, which is worth about $300 million right now. And so they can't afford that one, but they got rid of the rest of them.
Well, Mark Ballard, we'll give you a breather. I'm sure you're also a bit relieved, too, that there is a consensus and the lawmakers have gone home, at least for a little while.
It's a nice, relaxing thing, but I'm in the newspaper game, and already my editors say, well, what do you got for me today?
Well, we'll let you get to work, and we'll be calling again next week. Thank you, Mark Ballard. Always a pleasure.
Thank you.
Take care. And of course, there's always news, and usually there's a Louisiana angle. Even on the Trump story, there's a big angle with Stormy Daniels, the pride of Scotland, Bill Magnet High School, class of 1997. She has become a household word in this country. Remember about this time 50 years ago, for those of us who are alive, Dennis Yost and the Classics Four, they were in the studio recording this big hit, and perhaps they had Stormy Daniels in mind.
Sunshine, baby, whenever you smile, but I call you Stormy today. All of a sudden, that old rain's falling down.
For a podcast of today's show, go to WRKF.org or find the Talk Louisiana podcast on the WRKF app. We welcome your feedback and topic suggestions. Email us at talk@talklouisiana.org. Talk Louisiana is a production of WRKF in Baton Rouge.